idea.
You know, the other place where we're really, Mr. President, is in the public information area. You go around to these departments, what are public information offices?
Just like the White House, we're going for it. Well, we're looking at that, and that's why we're bringing this up, is that there's a great opportunity to deal a lot more effectively through the departments. We're doing a lot of nickel and dime stuff here at the White House because we don't really trust the departments to do it. I think in many respects, that caution is valid. But what we need to do is build up our departmental capability, get this day-to-day nickel and dime stuff out of departments, and really focus on the long-term, tough, really important issues for the aid. That's good.
We need people that have imagination to steal, not just,
See, we're trying to...
Well, there's a secret. Maybe we are not right now. Oh, maybe we were. What do we do? We had a wonderful call here.
I think that's right, but I don't think you care very much about getting it done there.
Well, goddammit, then I really, my point is, whether we care or not, I wonder really if we just ought to find places for people.
We got one we're dealing with right now with Baloo. You got a guy,
Baloo,
you know, who's a lovely old fellow over there who ain't up to that.
No. He doesn't have it.
We're gonna...
Oh, well, I'm hanging here, Secretary.
We've been talking with Eddie.
Client's office, you know, is in full. What's happened is solved. Anybody's going to...
He's gone or going?
Well, he's not going yet.
Is he gone?
He doesn't have it.
He's on his way to the...
Yeah, what about, say, a fellow who's...
Being with a large bag of fellow parties.
John Zedeker, now, what about him? He should be over, he'd be great over at the department, you know, where the people in and out of the Department of Agriculture or something. He isn't quite up to the speed that we need here. I don't think.
No,
or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right.
You analyze these guy grades. Understand, it's hard for me to talk about guys because these are the guys I'd rather keep. They're my friends. But in this business, there's no friendship. I say yes. It's only a question of whether the guy got it. He hasn't got it. Out.
Well, your whole congressional relations area under Timmons and your communications area is starting with the top, of course. You've got problems. They're accepted.
Well, let's go right into it. I think the communications area is weak.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one we're busting wide open.
Yeah, that one.
Well, that one. Now, which? Now, cool. You're talking about the client office is there.
Client.
We don't both need some busting open?
Yep. And Ron's
office is not all that strong either.
And he knows it.
And Houlihan and some of these others are not very strong people.
Well, you need.
Yeah, I know you need
guys
some
to push the power for you, but you...
Maybe you can get a guy that's a hell of a lot better. That's
there isn't any question about that.
If you can get a guy that's a hell of a lot better, then how they go put them out with... They've had a little experience in the White House. Let them go to NASA or one of these other damn places. That's what I mean.
So we can work closer to Brown with the past month, and I think he's got a couple of people he's probably...
One thing you will find, of course, is that true cabinet officers and true letters, there are many that fear having good, young, bright guys under them. They're afraid, you know, that they don't want smarter people than they are with them. If you ever find any of those, let me know.
You want to know now?
Well, you don't need to get together. They want a bunch of, that was part of Hickel's problem. He wanted a bunch of dummies. Under the cat dummies. There's always a disaster. You got a couple of other departments in the same way. There's people.
And so the problem was they weren't all dummies. He had a couple of bright ones who were against us.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Well, the approach that we're taking is most successful is if you look at a department, and you really go to work on a department, like the Department of Transportation.
Can I give you some priorities?
Yeah.
Start with the White House. That's what matters to me the most. And I want it for everything else. And concentrate most of public information on Sealer's office and on research. Now, I know there you've got the problem that you've got Ray Price, I mean, who's slow as molasses.
Brooke is eating that meat for an hour.
I talked to her, I was talking to, I couldn't get ready yesterday, so I was talking to Coke, who sat with somebody else, and I said, there is a desperate need somewhere in the White House staff of somebody who can write in the foreign policy field, who can write a decent letter, even or something of that sort. I know in the State Department there must be 10. There are 100 that can, but only 10 that might not be disloyal to the administration. So out of that 10, we can find one that we can bring over here to write. The only guy we've got in the State Department is the fellow over there in charge of mail.
Noble Mellon Camp.
Mellon Camp, very nice fellow. He's but he's been there long enough. He should go because it's a horrible job. But that's a very important job. Very important to me to have somebody really competent doing that. And I don't think it ought to be just over sort of a half-assed arrangement whereby it's run over the prices office when they're really it's an important matter and so forth and so on. Oh, maybe when it's important. But day to day, handling that, writing it well, filling form letters well, et cetera, et cetera. This is an important, to me, enormously important. It can have a very great effect for the administration. Nobody else around here gives a one goddamn about the mail. I didn't care a great deal about it. So let's do something about that. I want that mail department shaken right down in the trees. No friends, no nothing. They don't have it out. They got to get people that know what I'm not just interested in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Quality.
Mm-hmm.
People with heart. People who care. People who can write. People can see the opportunities you can get out of it. Well, we digress. Let's come back to what I said. My view is that your weaknesses are primarily the information field. Information field, and that includes both Ziegler's office and the other office. And you've got to look at both of them damn hard, and they don't have it out. The other point is, and by out I mean put them out in the agency,
yes.
Or the regional office, or something of that sort. The other point is that I think that where the concern, of course, has to be related is the term research, which of course is a whole price operation, and research detriting and mail. There again, you'll find very difficult place. I appreciate you looking around, but if you can ever find anybody, did you uncover this guy who they found?
Oh, yeah.
He turned out to be pretty good. I say pretty good, maybe he could be very good. If he's given a chance. I don't know. You never know how one intellectual will treat another. Time goes on. They become rivals in a sense. But this is your hardest area. It's so hard to find people who are bright and on our side. There are plenty right there on the other side. It's my hang on points off this memorandum. Now, the other area is a you get those two things. The rest of it, I don't really give much a damn about.
Congressional relations. Congressional relations, would that be?
I don't care much about that because basically it's just, when I say I don't care much about it, I just know the way it's going to handle it very well anyway. So just let it go. Just do the best they can. See, the Congress is like a sponge, but it is solid all up. And if you find somebody who thinks he's real good at it, what he'll do is to find a way to use more of my time. What you need in congressional relations is somebody big enough that he can get the guy to talk to him so he doesn't have to drive in here. Anybody can say, look, I've got to have more and more of the president's time. But every time, every minute I spend with a congressman is wasted. Just like that. Or senator. There are occasions, of course, when there's a specific matter to discuss, and it's extremely important. But I mean, all this therapy stuff, it's wasting time. So we do it over there today or something of that sort. But the idea that we're going to have a bunch of congressmen, you know, come in and tell us about how to run the world, that's wasting. So your congressional relations guy, McGregor, is very good at the time. Timmons is excellent in terms of getting the votes, and he knows how to count. Below them, they have very little bench strength. I don't know what you could do about it, though.
That's a pretty tough field of recruiting, too.
By this experience.
That's right.
Nobody knows anything about it.
Yeah,
and those that do know about it, if you do find people that are about it, good, guideline, broken down congressman or something of that sort of thing.
That's why really Collin and Cook are pretty good in that field, and you got two new ones.
Well, I think Cook is fine, and I think the other balls are all right. I think the,
they're low key, but,
what about the, does your, shop do the, are you doing anything about the independent agencies you're doing next?
No, we're handling independent agencies. What we're trying to...
That's one of our greatest weaknesses, when you get a jackass like Secor Brown. The other guy was a worse jackass, but this guy is almost as bad. So we say we've improved. We haven't improved enough. We have simply got to take those agencies and improve them an awful lot. Of course, you put in a command, let us, you know, do like a case against Bruce Bell. I still believe in some of his earlier disclosures, so I know the problems there. It's your problem, it's just a terrific problem, but it's not insoluble. I mean, the tougher it is, you go after it, you find it. And you've also, you know, you've got my word too about why you're looking for the young guys. Generally, they're the best. But don't overlook the certain assignments, the chief executive officers, or the retired naval or military personnel who retired at 60 who are still full of beans. Most of them aren't worth a damn. But about 1 out of 10 is very, very good. And some of those, you know, they've done everything. They've built the Panama Canal, and they've done a lot of other things.
Well, that very thought, as a matter of fact, has triggered us on two things. We're going after Tex Thornton on the possibility of the AEC chairman.
Yeah. To replace this fellow, Seabar?
Yeah. Seabar wants to leave.
You can't get him to take something where he has to sell his stock. Maybe he doesn't have to.
I don't think there is that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the
thing. He sensationally good.
Sounds
great.
Any kind of time you can get a thorn with the rest, you know, you start to look at what you know. It's really great when you get somebody in the big time. I mean, I remember when we had a Connally appointment, why this whole White House practically went up in smoke. Because Connally's a Democrat. The moment the main thing they really, but of course, most of the cabinet were about, they realized that he was a man. With a lot of balls. That's why we took him. That was the main reason. Had nothing to do with his politics, had nothing to do with his experience, had nothing to do nothing about the treasury. But he's had a, you see, and sometimes in that kind of position, you need very great strength. And you don't want many of those guys around who can't have those guys in second positions, because they'll cut the heart out of the guy in the first position. He can only be in the first position. He's got to get in. See, your thinking has been, and I talked about a little about your thinking, this is so right, the way that you say, let's just go after the best guy, you might get it. Who knows? Like they offer this ambassadorship to Linkletter to Austria, you can't do it right now. Probably you love it, you'd probably be a hell of an ambassador next year. What a great one to go, you know, Mark Linkletter. Almost half the country already had it. So it's not a news ambassador. And then, of course, among the young, gosh, there must be, you know, you think of the Harvard School of Business and the rest. I don't know whether they spoil people. They may destroy them. The Harvard Stanford, all the rest. I mean, they teach them all these little games to play and all this and that. But if they haven't denied them completely, some of those guys could be worthwhile. But mainly, we want strength, guts, brains, and imagination, and the most important thing is selflessness. You can't think of themselves. The most important single thing by themselves, and deep down, they got to be ambitious. They want to go right to the top. But the way to go to the top is not to think of, not to always think about going to the top. It's like a jackass like this Regal, you know. They're Kosky around there. Both of them think they might be present. They talk about it all the time. It's the most stupid thing they could do. We want people who think they ought to go to the top, but who are willing to put themselves on the sword in order to get there. That is the key to real service in government. And it's very different from service in business. In business, nobody puts themselves on the sword. You know, he's a
the kind of candidates we're looking at for sub-debt now, the average candidate is probably making twice what he's going to make here. And we want to sacrifice.
I don't think we're going to do it. I'm just amazed that you didn't get it, but I think it's, I had circuit by your train.
Oh, we're bad.
You really feel, and you analyze the whole government, what it said before you came in, but he says our bench strength is really weak. Now, why the hell have I known this? I'm really surprised.
I think
I always picked a good candidate. Everybody said that while they were all good, great men, that they were good managers. Maybe they're lousy managers. Is that right?
Some of them are. We knew when they first came in that some of them weren't good. We're selected for that reason. Some of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, you got some damn capable, damn strong men in there too. They aren't all bad.
No.
They sure hell
are. At the level?
No, at the cabinet level.
Oh, no, the cabinet level is different. Yeah, you take a guy like Richardson, you're talking about one of the most capable men in public service in the nation. He's ever been. All's got
a... Well, and if you look at a cabinet officer in terms of his potential to be a president, Richardson is a potential president. He's a guy who doesn't have the charisma, but he might develop. Connally sure as hell is. Mitchell isn't in that sense, but he is a man on strength, so you got the right kind of guy. That's right. And is the right kind of guy in the cabinet. Laird is a weird animal all his own, and so is Rogers. Volpe and Romney are disasters. Blunt is on his way out anyway, and he was great for that job at that time. Because he went after it, did what nobody, including anybody in here, thought was hard.
Hart has an
impossible job, and I'm not sure you aren't just as well off with Hart as you would be with any
who don't like the process that they said.
But
I was thinking the bench strength, though, not the cabinet strength.
Okay, the bench strength, the undersecretaries are a very undistinguished lot, really.
Are
right
they?
Down the line.
We could have them all, didn't we?
Not really.
Point out why, and therefore you should get rid of him. It's hard as hell for him to argue against it.
What'd you do with Hollis Grove?
No, we have approved Hollis yet.
Where are you going to put it?
Well, we're not sure yet. There's a material resource council.
Material policies commission.
Material policy commission. The committee could go out and say, executive director, town director of, which is the less sense of than the one he did now. And then we're looking at a couple of really good pros to put in there. That's part of our overall campaign in terms of interior.
What are we planning to do, Bob? We take that over or not take it?
Nope, we didn't. And sometime you ought to mention to George, because that was a hell of a thing for him to do. But he stepped up to it, bit the bullet, called in, he worked it out, he talked to Texon, worked it out to get him meshed back into Lytton, and then called in, told him himself, and told him he wasn't going to get it after all. And that's bullet fighting at the highest order, I think. It was tough as hell to have to do. But he went all the way around the barn on it and came back to us, and his pitch to Antoven was that it's just perfectly clear starting this new council that you'd be starting off in a position that would be harmful to you and the council, and it's just better off for you not to, or there's a council in town that's a foundation institute.
Yeah, well, you can't, you are a question, I think.
Well, that was the point.
Yeah, it was a bad move. We're working on finding another person now.
This list of some of, you know, as examples of some of the people that Fred and his crew have moved in here is a fascinating indication of the kind of thing he's doing at the sub-cabin, where he's brought in like a general counsel of transportation, a partner from Cravath in New York at $150,000.
Wow.
Guy that was making $150,000. And Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at AGW was the Director of Communications at Boise Cascade. Before he came in, making $45,000. Assistant Secretary for Administration and Interior was a partner at Touche Ross, Putting in Smart at $83,000 a year. Assistant Secretary for Administration at HEW was Vice President Hughes Tool at $60,000. Assistant Administrator for Management at EPO was Executive VP of Evans Broadcasting at $45,000. He's got a bunch of people that he brought in from 56
to 70. He moved in the other direction. He picked some guy up, you know, that's sort of out of a job. And he says, gee, I helped him. I put out bumper stickers.
That's, of course, the other side of the problem. You still have to play the patronage game, which is what Dan's got to balance against, you know, quality where it matters, is the other side of it, of putting that.
And now and then we have to do that.
Taking care of our own.
And learning. They're typically those aren't in the top level, really key operating positions like the ones you're
talking
about there. You can take care of those guys in areas that don't have quite that much impact on the overall performance. You know,
especially now, because you've got the DS scale prices. See, a DSAP gets 36,000, 35.
It's not bad. That's up to
the presidential economy.
Well, not necessarily, but we can get GS-18 equivalent type positions at 16. Super grades now pay damn good money. They used to only pay $24,000, $25,000.
What are we doing with the likes of
Mills Bow? Well, that's an interesting case in point. It's a hell of a problem. We've got to get it out, and he won't take anything except a judgeship. Mitchell won't make him a judge because he's incompetent. So.
He's still there, but he's not doing anything.
We're at an impact. That's the damn sure he's not doing.
Out of line of the intergovernmental relations office.
That's why there is no line. There is no intergovernmental
relations office. Now, when you talk about personnel, that vice president's office really is in the mess.
That's true.
And that intergovernmental relations office, of course, is the great key.
Yeah. We have to attend upon that. The intergovernmental relations commission is something that's really important to our whole White House operating effectively.
You can't do that with those
reference. Well,
yeah. Absolutely. And as you've been working with Morgan on trying to put his thing together, you see it even more clearly. Because of failure, everywhere that there's been failure in the Morgan operation, or most of the places where they have, it's basically due to that office. They just can't get through to the governors, mayors, legislators and councilmen.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up, Mr. President, is this issue of getting more women appointed. So we can build some kind of campaign issue, perhaps, by the time the elections roll around. We have done not a bad job, but an average job on women overall. We're somewhat in line with what's passed in the race, but we're really making an effort now to get a larger number appointed at the presidential appointing level. And we're trying to get people who aren't just women, but who are damn well qualified as well.
Isn't that kind of like the black thing where you're, instead of numbers, which we're in great shape on with blacks in the government, for instance, but it's symbols, yeah. It's putting a woman into a job that's never been held by a woman before. So it's the first woman, whatever it is, in history. And doesn't that mean more than putting 100 women into
well, disability? My view about the women is different from others, and very different from my view about the blacks. But the blacks is essential. And it's essential from the standpoint of symbolism as well, from the standpoint of numbers. You know, numbers, we include everything. We're very, very high.
Oh, very high.
Right. In fact, they have a greater proportion of blacks according to their bodies. With women, well, I think we have a problem with them. I think that generally speaking, women, as voters, are not particularly concerned about whether or not a woman is the director of the men, or a judge, or any of that sort of thing. I think that the women as voters are more concerned about other problems, where we would much best put our effort. Also, women in government are a pain in the neck, for the most part. They're very difficult to handle.
Yeah.
Very difficult to handle. And I don't, and my point is I doubt if they're really worth the effort. Now you get a very different view from Pat Hill and all the rest, and I know their views, and I know how strongly they feel, but I'm looking at it from a cold political standpoint. I think there are other things we should do for women in a political way, but I just don't think appointing them to positions is going to say, gee whiz, he likes women because he puts women in positions. And that's my argument.
Well, as a matter of fact, your strategy that you've worked out complements the president's attitude, and that is that rather than placing the women in full-time positions, rather the idea would be to put them on prestigious presidential boards and commissions.
Well, that's
a part-time position where they wouldn't get in
great. Well, that's fine. We aren't stuck with it.
But I think there are selective instances where you can make a call of impact with the women. Let me give you an example. We're talking, I've got a girl ready to come aboard, and she's president of the Hewitt Robinson Division of Lipton Industries, and she's on Lipton's board. Her name is Jane Spain.
Uh-huh.
And she is about 48 years old, damn attractive, articulate, a partisan Republican, very partisan in my head, very, very much an admirer of yours, and a real tough lady executive. Now, she wants to come on board, and we've got her charged with the vice chairman of the Civil Service Commission, where she can be a rally point.
Well, that's fine. Great. Well, if you get a comment, what I'm getting at is this. Let me put it this way. With a black, I think you have to settle usually for an incompetent. Because there just aren't enough competent ones. And so you put incompetence in and get along with them. Because the symbolism is vitally important. You've got to prove that you care. With a woman, though, please, good God, don't send us an incompetent woman. If a woman is competent, if she's up to it, if she has it, fine. Have her in. I just don't think it's worth. I don't think it's worth the votes when you really look down to it. To put an incompetent woman in a position.
Oh, but the Helen Bentley appointment, for instance, was a good one. She's a damn good maritime commissioner. Covered most of the sailors.
Not because of
the Italians,
because of the background.
We do need on the black side to look for some some visible first time ever.
What about that judge that guy?
That's supposed to be going ahead.
Military appeals. Get it done. My molasses. First black judge to be.
Yeah, and that's why they're all, they checked it all out, and everybody thinks it's great. So that, as far as I know, that's still on track.
Still getting that one. No, I'm for your woman thing. This one sounds great. Well, I thought you'd get a competent woman. She'd be great. Usually, though, if you put one who's really not competent in a job, and then around the group of men, and there's constantly the feeling of men, and she inhibits the men.
Yep.
And it's not good. It's not good. It just isn't a good thing. You know, the idea, though, is to put a woman in the cabinet. We have one.
Well, Brent, I don't particularly like working with my but I think if we can find the kind of like James Spain.
Oh, I think it's great. Then we're I think we put them in the Civil Service Commission. Incidentally, shouldn't we get a better black Civil Service Commission
when we've got? Well, that's the one she's gonna replace.
Oh, he's leaving. Was she black?
No.
That's too bad. Tell her that.
We're going to make him an assistant secretary of one of the services if we can.
Good God. Well, go ahead.
Would you like that idea?
Sure. Oh, it's secretary, no problem. Assistant secretary of the Army. The Army's all black anyway.
Doesn't make any difference.
He's not competent. We can't really bounce him.
All right, fine.
He's the only black member of the Bird Society who loses the nation today.
That's right.
He's articulate.
He can talk. I know. And those assistant secretaries shouldn't be nothing.
No, the services don't do that much.
Right. We ought to be able to get some. I understand. Sure. So we're not going to have any black civil service commission?
No. There's only three. The only Republican appointees, and of course the chairman. So the idea was that looking for where we could get the most mileage out of that number two spot over there, we thought we could get the most mileage out of a woman. We sure as hell haven't gotten as much as we should have out of a black in the past 2 years.
They're not having a black.
What?
There's some merit to not having a black.
Yeah, look at the
having had one.
Look at the percentage of federal employment. 40% of federal employment.
One thing I would say is that very be sure that this announcement is made almost in tandem with the Court of Military Appeals. That must be followed through. Now, I've given the order to the Secretary of the 18 other people, and I haven't heard anything about it in 3 weeks now. I haven't done it. Homer Ferguson is pushing his secretary for the job. Actually, it's sort of balanced a bit.
Yep.
You bounce one here, you put one in another place.
Yep.
What other areas do you? What's the weakest department?
The weakest department right now, I would say, would be probably interior.
We should work cleaning up.
We're in pretty good shape there now because we've got some people coming on board. Transportation has been weak, but we've made 7 appointments there in the past 2 months that people are going to be coming on board, including a couple you might know, like Dan Ucello. We're good people.
But all the Italians.
Opie's all part of it.
Yeah, for real.
Well, he's a cooperative.
Plus, there's 150,000.
How about HUD?
Well,
nothing you can do about HUD.
Not much we can do. That's really the truth. Oh, agriculture is real weak.
Oh,
yes. Agriculture. States are pretty big problem. Well, that started it.
Well, that's a shame. Possible.
That's still a problem.
Give you that list, too. We've done reasonably well here.
Say it's terribly difficult.
No, I've gone through, we took our first of what ought to be gotten rid of, and Bill's, with a couple exceptions, he's moving ahead on it. And he's got reason on the ones that he's objected to, as a matter of fact.
And the agencies, how about the little boys that run the councils, for example, the SEC and FBC and all the rest. Those are bad boys. Can you change some of
them? We are in the process of changing them. We're doing a pretty major job on the general counsel positions in these agencies.
And everywhere, They're working down line, telling them to hire better people. Those are the ones that cause us trouble.
It's FTC is no problem.
No.
FTC and SEC and ICC are the ones that really matter. That way, because of the regulatory power that they've got.
They're so bad.
This whole area of outstanding lawyers is one that we haven't had in the past, and it's just kind of like a gold mine right now. We're really coming up with some good people who want to come in, and so we're approaching, going right down the list of agencies and evaluating these general counsel.
Part of our problem there too is, you see, we did all the lawyer stuff through Justice, through Kleine, East, and Mitchell when we first came in, and naturally they took the best ones for their own department, or what they thought were the best for their own department, and for judgeships and that kind of thing, but U.S. attorneys. And we didn't do as good a job on lawyers as we could have done. But good part of it because of that, because they were all cleared through there. Now we go direct and start getting
our... You've got some real problems, so you can't do much in the vice president's office.
We've got to do something.
Well, we're going to have to attack the Intergovernmental Relations Office. The rest of the office, I think we can look at.
That's his problem. I hope you can do something with it. You really have to touch it. With the Intergovernmental Relations Department, that's...
Yep.
And I think we must know that up to standards, Bob.
Is that right?
Don't think so. I think he's such a bad judge of people that he doesn't know the difference.
Doesn't know the difference.
Or we can tackle that.
You know, this is not a illusion of what it is called. This is government. You've got a lot of these same problems in this
system.
Sure. I mean, you've got this guy, the hacks, the bureaucrats, right?
Yes,
that's the thing. You've got to murder off and so forth, control them, retire them, give them the wristwatch, and all that stuff.
Except there, you've got time. You can ease them out and you can build around them and all that. You got time to let it work its way out. Here you don't have any time.
Sure.
Every day we lose, no way to catch up.
Yeah.
There's a finite point. I mean, when you're running a business, there's no end. It goes on. And if you don't get it done this week, you can get it done next week. But here, if you don't get it done this week, it's that.
Let me say this. This has never been done before in the Republican administration. It has been done in some of the just obvious reasons. They just fire all Republicans from the Democrats. They've got the incompetent ones to bring in because basically most of the left-wingers are intellectuals and therefore competent. They may not be able to run them, but they're competent.
Good thing.
Election. Now, the difficulty in our case is that most of those who are more conservative in their thinking, and the kind of people we want, are people who those that are really competent, so then busy out making money, that they aren't interested to come and work in the government. And so you gotta go out and find them. And also, the bureaucracy, you have to realize over so many years, has been so infested with these left-wingers who've gotten into the positions of power in civil service commissioners, and they all promote each other, and they scratch each other. It's a terrible system. It is. I know it works. God, and you say that we sit around here and say, hey, well, what about old Joe? Boy, they don't do it that way. They figured out years in advance how they're going to do this one and that one and the other one and the rest. I'm speaking about the bureaucracy. And it's a continuing establishment. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Well, this whole issue of responsiveness is a great one. We're tackling that in a little bit different way.
How you do that?
Well, we're doing a couple of things. First, we're taking a look at the civil service system itself.
Good.
And what
we hope
to do short of abolishing it is to come up with a system whereby middle-level executives have to transfer between departments and functions as they move ahead in their career. Because we got to break these ties with the constituent groups and subcommittees that you got to fit with now.
Right.
And the second thing we're trying to do is identify, have a better means of identifying and training those people who really are going to be good, who can be good professionals in the best sense of the word to move ahead. But I think the key thing is we've got to shake them up by starting to move them in a planned basis and on a career plan basis from assignment to assignment as they move through the levels, then they can't get locked in any one place. They can't plan their careers that well. And also they develop a more general capability, and they're no longer health researchers, they're broader executives by the time they get to the top, and they're capable of being loyal. The other thing we're doing, we really haven't done as much as we should have done in the past on orienting our own appointees to the White House. These guys go out there and they're working for George Romney, and they're working for John Bowlby, they're not working for Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
And so we're approaching this too. We've got an orientation period now we're setting up for all new appointees. They're going to come in, they're going to be oriented by various members of the substantive, political, congressional staffs here. We're going to ensure that the presidential appointees get an opportunity to come in during open times and to meet you, get their pictures taken, share a little bit of identification going there.
Sorry about the presidentialize all this.
Right at the beginning.
Right.
Come in with a picture of who I am. That's right.
And now we're moving to try to set up a system of recognitions and rewards for these people that again will identify them.
Yeah, you see, we have a system here where, for example, particularly in the United States, hell, I never met in defense, I haven't met half those people.
Yeah.
Except it's even a military old bachelor or a Congressional Medal of Honor thing or a church thing or something. And by God, they've all been appointed and I never even met them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no obligation, whatever, do they, Bob?
Yeah, and that's right. And that's one of the things
you bring
first pointed out is that we've got to get him
and identify him right away.
And have the guy in his office have a picture of you on the back of his desk there.
That's right.
Instead of
that's right.
Just his wife and kids. Or the secretary.
Got a nice little picture.
And the cabinet officer then knows,
he knows the president.
Very good.
This is very important. Working right on down the line.
Have your bureaucracy will put a cell around him and never let him see a memo that night.
Incidentally, I can't emphasize too strongly this. Don't be obsessed with the guy's got an honor or the thing. I don't care. I have the slightest interest in that. If somebody.
That was another mistake we made.
Harry Fleming went overboard with that guy. The vice president was the Republican. I'm only interested in his confidence and his basic loyalty to us.
Sure.
And frankly, we've got to have a hell of a lot of Democrats. In fact, a third of those that you've got will probably turn out to be Democrats or independents. Now, I would much rather, for example, have a conservative Democrat than a liberal Republican.
Sure.
If you ever have the choice, a conservative Democrat or a liberal Republican, any day. That basically, if you have choices, as far as Secretary Treasury is concerned, would have come between David Rockefeller and John Connell. I would take John Connell, leaving out all the political ability of the rest, because one is a liberal Republican, the other is a conservative Democrat. That's what we need. See?
Yeah.
So remember that.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about the politics. Don't worry about the clearances and all the rest. We'll get those through. We just tell them that I have to have Democrats here. Oh, you, of course, you have problems. Great problems.
Your problem.
They'll scream and say, now what about this? This guy's not a Republican and he didn't support it so far. You will have a problem if the guy has openly fought, which was the case of John Tower fighting Conley. Or Conley, because Conley had supported Tower's opponent.
We can fight through a few of those too.
So we can take a few of those too. We put it on the basis that, look, we're trying to broaden our base and so forth. But remember, you look for the good men. Don't worry about whether or not. Don't worry about whether he's even been in politics.
But what we can take
the first time, particularly the young men.
But you can't take as a symbolic Democrats like Ento who are
Ento
red
and
white.
You can't take. I don't care how damn competent Ento is. If he's
he was. He would have. He was superbly
qualified. Unilateral disarmament, which of course is what the conservatives all think about him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't come in
here
because it would kill us. That's what we mean. The symbolic ones we don't want, but the others.
That was the thing Lee Dubridge never understood, and that David does understand in the science, which is the toughest area of all.
Science ever retired by the science.
But David knows what we're talking about there.
Sure.
Lee never did. He could never.
He'd come bouncing in here saying the craziest bunch of people I ever heard. Some guy had been out on some pamphlet,
Yeah, Gelman, Murray Gelman, or whatever his name is. He kept on every goddamn list they put in. The guy wrote articles blasting the ABN thing.
Not only blasting what you put in, international murder, genocide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he wants us to point him, so that'll...
Because he wasn't political, they said.
Well, anyway, you know, we appreciate your work. I know it's frustrating.
Not at all.
It's never been the main thing you can control. It's an all three-day company. It's never been done before. By any Republican. By any Eisenhower administration. We never even touched it. Never touched it. Hell, there wasn't anybody down the line, 4-0, that we could ever find supported by America. The only ones we usually found down the line in support of were so incompetent, it was just really.
That's really true. That administration was really distinguished by incompetence.
It was, Bob. It was. You remember the 60 campaigns? We tried to find people that were out.
That was true in his own staff.
They were incompetent. His staff was incompetent.
Managed them and everything else.
And the whole bunch, you know what I mean? The people around here, they didn't know what the gun is. The only competent person they was the secretary. Bob Hagerty had some competence.
Oh, at the top level of the White House, Andy Goodpasture was competent.
Well, Goodpasture, of course. But Bobby wasn't very competent, John. Bobby got hurt.
Cutler wasn't. And
just an old friend.
Sherman Adams really wasn't.
No,
in his own way.
Sherman was
way
old. He did a hell of a lot considering his limitations, but he was not competent to do the big job that he had.
So,
you'll have a lot of fun. Well, we're going to get flooded up a little.
That's one thing
that I will work at. What else can you do to make it that?
I think we're
to make money.
What's your question?
They've all done that. You're all rich. Well, you get nothing. Everybody gets a cup. Oh, but I'm just talking.